Hey, Georgetown, I'm Maverick.
And I'm Jake.
And this is GBC Empower Podcast. This is actually episode number 42. So, Jake, we already know what famous sports person you're going to say, but go ahead and say
Listen, for the obscure numbers, I feel like you're going to need my help more. But for today, Maverick, I bestow upon you the ability to tell the masses a famous 42 in sports.
The most famous 42 in sports is Jackie Robinson. He's a guy that even before my baseball time, I would use in sermons just because what he did on the court. Anytime we talk about being
on the court,
Never mind, y'all.
I got to take back control of this. On the field, sir. On the field. You've been a baseball fan for a year now. Whoa. You should be embarrassed. I'm so sorry, everybody.
I am embarrassed.
Podcast is over. There's no 43.
But on the field, he was a light for baseball, and you know how we can be like that. But April 15th is Jackie Robinson Day, and there's a pair of shoes I really, really want.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maverick just showed me there's these specific Nikes coming out in honor of Jackie Robinson. Fun fact about Jackie Robinson. Where did he go to college?
Did he?
He did. He went to UCLA, and he lettered in three sports. He was a football player, a basketball player, and a baseball player at the University of California.
Wow, that is crazy. I did not know that. Super athlete. Wow. Yeah.
People talk about, you know, the fact that he's the first African-American to break what they called the color barrier in sports. But he was actually an incredible baseball player. I mean, he was so good. Like, he was a Hall of Fame talent. You know, to go along with the fact that he was so iconic just by, you know, what he did and what he accomplished.
Oh, yeah. Like, he plays in maybe not today's league because it's so different, but I mean, he plays even after, you know, the color barrier breaks. He's a Hall of Famer. Like, absolutely. It's fantastic. Anyways, baseball talk for the day, and it's Masters week. So I know most of you don't even care about baseball right now. It's all talk of the Masters, and will Victor Hovland get the green jacket? I think he will. But anyways, we have a different green to talk about today, Jake. What a segue.
I feel so weird now.
Jake, what are we going to talk about today?
You know, we've talked about this several times through this podcast. The goal of this podcast is to help our members at Georgetown be better versed in what's going on in the church, to have transparency. It's also for people that are visiting Georgetown, want to learn more about who we are. We've got several episodes that we would encourage a person to go listen to. And if you can make it through, you know, the people talking, you'll get to hear some good information.
That's very true.
But today we want to talk about giving, biblical giving. And the reason we want to do that is because we are in the midst of the Let's Go campaign that started 2 weeks ago, where we are in a capital campaign to raise funding as we as a church family move forward in all that God's called us to. And one of those parts is to build a building that can help us deal with the space issues that we're fighting through. And we're asking people to give. But we've talked about this. It's really hard to say everything you want to say in a Sunday morning sermon. We encourage people to go get involved in a Sunday school group. Our groups are going through this at the same time, where you can learn all that we're working through, all the passages of scripture we're studying. But we thought, man, it'd be really helpful to put out a episode about giving and why is giving important. And this has not all to do with the capital campaign. Yep. This is something we're called to do for our entire life. But maybe you're a person, you've gone to church and you've heard people say, man, you should give, you need to give, but you don't really know why you should give.
Yeah.
And if you don't know that, then it's going to be very challenging to understand. So that's what today is for.
Yeah. So I really, really hope the title doesn't steer you away. I hope that this conversation doesn't steer you away. Again, like Jake said, the whole point of this is I hope this actually starts more of a conversation, and I hope you leave, you know, from listening to this podcast, understanding more about what the Bible says about giving. And it's like the reason why we can sneer away from this topic is because it's been so convoluted with just different things. It's like, all right, I know I should give, and it's almost like giving a charity or whatever, like you just need my money or X, Y, and Z or whatever. And I hope as we talk about it today, as we continue to talk about it with this Let's Go campaign, that again, it's not just about the campaign, it's about discipling our people for Jesus Christ and discipling them in the ways to give, which is biblical, which yes. It's not like we're like, we're going to disciple you into Jesus Christ and we want to disciple you to give. No, being a disciple of Jesus Christ is going to cause you to give. And so hope as we continue to talk about it, hope we as we talk about it today, that we all kind of grasp more of the understanding of the biblical reason why we give. So Jake, what's the biblical reason? Why do we as disciples of Jesus Christ give?
That is such a loaded question to answer, because there are more messages about money in the Bible than almost anything else you'll see. The Bible talks about money all the way through, and I really mean it. There are numerous messages about the Bible. So why do we give? What is my why behind attending a local church and putting money in the offering plate regularly for the glory of God? Well, it comes back to it starts in the Old Testament. Yep. If you biblically want to go through this, you have to go to the Old Testament. And you can make the case that you see the first biblical tithe in Genesis chapter 14 with Abram yeah. and Melchizedek. But a verse that you might hear often when people talk about giving, you'll hear a word, tithe. So I want to read a Bible verse to you from Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. And you're going to see the word tithe, or you're going to hear the word tenth. It depends on what translation you're reading. So I'm going to read that, and then would you give everybody a definition of tithe?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. How do we rob you, you ask? By not making the payments of the tenth and the contributions. You are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse so there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of armies. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure.
Amen. So we hear tithe often, and as someone who didn't grow up in church, it's a church word. Believe it or not, like grace, salvation, even baptism, like these are church words. Tithe is no different. But as you see in Malachi, as Jake already alluded to in this translation, it says tenth. A tithe is one tenth of a person's good, whether it's agricultural or monetary, and it's dedicated to God. And so verse 10 says, bring the full tenth, bring your full tithe, and you bring it to God and you give it to God.
See, the reason we start here is because God's people, all the way back in the beginning of Scripture, had to be instructed on how do we rely on God. Well, you know, God provides everything. God takes care of us in all the ways that He does. But God asked His people to return back to Him for a purpose, for a reason. And you can go back to Leviticus 27, where when God's people had made it out of Egypt and God's people were organized amongst themselves, that He began to divide them up into tribes. There were 12 mm-hmm. tribes of Israel. Maybe you've heard that, maybe you haven't heard that. Mm-hmm. But there was one specific tribe called the Levites, and the Levites were people that were instructed to handle all the offerings that were brought to God, where people would bring an animal to be sacrificed or to come and participate in the worship. So yeah. Every other tribe other than the Levites were given a portion of land, a portion of goods, a portion of value to be able to live. But God told the Levites specifically, you're going to rely 100% on me. Mm-hmm. I'm actually not giving you any land. I'm actually not giving this to you. You're going to serve me. And you read in Leviticus 27 that what the rest of the tribes brought, the Levites depended upon. That's where it kind of began for when you start to learn about biblical tithing. And then, you know, you can go to Deuteronomy, which we're studying right now, and it talks about all the direction that God gave the people about giving. So we're not going to stay in this forever, but the point of it is tithes were brought. Tithes, the tenth of what a person had, whether it was their cattle or whether it was literal money, it was brought as a sacrifice in gratitude for God who provided. So if somebody provides you everything in your life, and that same person says, bring me a tenth of that, is that a healthy thing? Or is that a, well, why would he take that away from me kind of thing?
Yeah, I think, like, from a young person's perspective, we subscribe to everything. Like, we subscribe to literally everything. In the past, it was emails, it was magazines. Now, I hear people almost monthly say, oh, we got away from cable and we're doing strictly streaming, and me and Mel do the same. And this does have a point. We can often see church or God as a subscription. Like, oh, man, I must give a tenth so God can keep blessing me. Oh, I must give a tenth. And, like, let me hear me, church family. That is not it. That is not it. God can do more in you with 90% of your money, 90% of your assets, than you can with 100%. You know, like, we feel like we want to guard 100%. Like, man, I worked hard for that. You know, I did all this. And it's not like God can't bless you if you don't tithe. Like, no, he can, but you're limiting God. I just taught the youth this past Wednesday of the importance of giving, of how God can do and will do a mighty work on you, but you're limiting him. He can do so much more through you, through 90%, than you can with 100.
Sure. I couldn't agree more, because there's a purpose to this. It's, yeah. It's not God looking at us and saying, listen, I want to make your life difficult, so I'm going to take from you. We've got to stop as a society putting what other people have done to us in the same light of what God is teaching us. And one of the ways that I've seen people attribute, you know, biblical giving is no different than, you know, you get your check at the end of the week, and, you know, the government takes out money to provide. Yeah. God's not asking, he's not taking away from his people. He's asking them to voluntarily give to him. It's a completely different, and it's such an important thing, because I agree with you, Mav. God can do more with our 90%. Because that 90% is something that God already owns anyway.
Absolutely.
And it's never going anywhere. And, you know, as a dad, I've got some kids that have chores. Man, I'm not here to brag, but I do a lot more for my kids than I ask my children to do for me. Mm-hmm. But the reason I ask my children to do chores is, sure, it helps the house, but I'm teaching them responsibility. I'm teaching them how to behave within a home, you know, and I'm sure we as kids at some point said, hold on, that's my bed. Don't touch my bed. Or we say, oh, that's my phone. Don't mm-hmm. touch my phone. Well, buddy, if you're not paying for the phone, it's not your phone.
Yeah.
If you didn't buy the bed, it's not your bed. Someone is letting you use that bed out of love and care for you. Take that to what God does. God's letting us use his land. God's letting us have his food. God's providing his oxygen. And when you can look at it that way, you begin to realize that there's a better purpose behind giving to the Lord. And you know, people think, okay, well, the Old Testament said I'm supposed to tithe. But, you know, Jesus came and he changed everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Jesus came and he changed. He abolished the law. The law doesn't depend on me. Number one, that's not true. Yeah. He fulfilled the law.
Yeah.
But Jesus himself even said, no, the law is eternal. It's not going anywhere. And Jesus began to come in and teach. But before we get into what, you know, some things Jesus taught, when you give, friend, when you give to God, when you give your best, you're saying, God, I acknowledge you as the sovereign God. Think about that. Why is it important, Mav, that we as Christians live our lives in a way that we are acknowledging that God is the Lord of everything, including our finances?
Well, it goes back to like Romans 12:1, you know, when it talks about like living sacrifice. You know, if you're a part of this church, some of you've been saved to this church, some of you've been baptized to this church, some of you just been faithful members, and your testimony has brought you here. If you trust God enough to give your life to him, to be a living sacrifice, why is money the awkward thing to give to God? Like, honestly, like, ask yourself, like, ooh, like, is it, and maybe this is where we're going, maybe this is a side topic, but like, maybe is it like Satan used you know, he spreads those lies of like, oh, money's just an awkward thing to talk about. Let's, you know, maybe let's store that. Isn't that not Satan's lies? Because if we are willing to give our all to God, like all of our lives, and we can say that, you know, if we know Jesus paid it all, you know, you sing the famous hymn, but then why is the money talking about? Well, then maybe it's because there, you don't understand yet that God is fully, fully sovereign, that he is in control of it all. He knows exactly what you have. You know what I mean? He knows the house. He knew what the Israelites, he knew how many cows they had. He knew what the best one was, if they were offering the best or not. He already knows. And he's not just, you know, he's not just like, you must or whatever. It's like, he lets you have the opportunity to give your best to him.
Yes. He's father, we're yeah. child, and he's yes. giving and we're receiving. No, it's not better. It's fine. I think it's important for us as Christians to understand that God is, he's a good father.
Yeah.
And he loves his people. You know, the verse that I read to you, Malachi 3 verses 8 through 10, I've seen a lot of Christians that they'll read, bring your tenth, and they'll read that last line that it says, so see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing on you without measure. They'll take that into a health and wealth gospel,
yeah. Yeah.
which is not the design of that passage. Some of the most charitable people I've met in my lifetime never went up in their pay bracket.
Yeah.
In fact, some of the most charitable people I've met are not wealthy in the sense of what the world would determine as wealth. But when you can no longer be owned by money and you can allow God to be sovereign in your life, my friend, you get to learn what true wealth actually is.
Yeah.
And I do know people that have surrendered everything to God and God did provide them physical wealth. But I've met those people and these folks, they live open-handedly, mm-hmm. and they provide so much for so many. See, when you are faithful in your giving, and we want to help you with this. If this is something you've never done in your life, one of our goals is to help you understand what we mean.
Yeah.
And maybe even after this podcast, you have questions. But the best thing about giving to God is you say, God, I acknowledge that you're God, and I acknowledge that you're going to provide, that you're going to take care of me and my family. And you begin to stop being so afraid of what's not going to come your way. Mm-hmm. And you begin to be more afraid of not giving God the office that he deserves. And that's a discipleship thing. That's something our hearts have to change in order for us to know that. But, you know, giving is not just about, all right, Father, here you go. I'm down on my knees and I'm afraid and I need to get out of here and go back to my 90% lifestyle. You know, it also expresses gratitude. Mm-hmm. to God for all the things that he's done and what he has provided for us.
Yes. I pulled up in front of me, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 7. The point is this: the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver.
I don't read from this passage that as the church, it's our job to put locks on the doors when everybody comes in and make sure that the offering plate has what it needs before we'll let people leave. You may be hearing that go, what? I've been in some places where that's happened. I don't read that at all. I meet people with chips on their shoulder and go, here we go. Church wants my money. Yeah. Bro, the church doesn't need your money. Mm-hmm. We need God's money.
Yes.
So when you give, it's not about simply just, well, God expects this of me and I need to check this box in my life. As you begin to give and as you begin to grow in your relationship with Jesus and he begins to literally do surgery on your heart, you become what's called a cheerful giver. You become mm-hmm. a person that's happy to give, not just because you're happy with your pastors or the church itself. You're satisfied in the Lord Jesus. And it's like I've had people go, you got to be careful giving money to a person, you know, on the side of the road that's going to go spend it on something that's ungodly.
Yeah.
Bro, I don't have time to worry about that. Here's what my job is as a giver. Lord, are you calling me to give? Mm-hmm. If the answer is yes, then I'm not worried about how it ends up, because that's God's. That's in God's hands. And yes. As Americans, as Western society people, we've got to understand that this is not ours. Mm-hmm. And I know we've been taught that. We've been told that. It's ingrained in our very being. But none of this is ours. This church isn't ours. This building we're going to build, it's not our building. It's 100% God's. But bro, and why am I saying bro so much?
I don't know. You've been hanging out with Landry too much.
That's it.
Brah.
That kid. But man, to tell God, I'm so thankful for how you've provided for me. And Lord, I'm trusting you out of gratitude.
Yeah. And it's like when I finally got really, really taught and discipled in giving, because guys, I did not give for a long time. I was like, man, I work for God's church. Anyways.
Exactly.
But when I got discipled, it was like, and here's kind of how they put it. And, you know, chew the meat, throw away the bone kind of deal. It's like, and I'll use our church as an example. God doesn't see you give to Georgetown Baptist Church. God sees you give to him. Amen. You know, so like, even if you're going through a church and it's like, man, they're buying a lot of light systems, you know, they're buying a lot of this, or pastor's got a new, no, I'm just kidding. But like, you can go and talk to you, because the church is a great place. And hopefully we come here, we're very open with our finances. Bruce gets up at the end of every business meeting and talks about where we're spending our money, how we're spending the money and all that stuff. And he opens the floor for questions, and we're grateful for that. But again, God doesn't see you just give to Georgetown. He sees you give it to him. And so I hope you give when times are great and all that stuff, but I really hope you give when times are bad. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, because I mean, if you've been here long enough, then you know, like, even in 2020, when the world was upside down and we were like, man, let's be really sparingly with our money. Let's spend only what we kind of have to, all this stuff. And we do that anyways. And so it was like kind of really difficult. Guess what? We met our budget. Because even in that midst of chaos, like, we had so many just faithful givers. And here's the other deal. Maybe this needs to be said, maybe it's not, but I'm teaching our youth how to give, because not only do I want them to give to this Let's Go campaign, I want them to be tithers starting now, because man, I wish I was tithing at youth. And really, if I was tithing 10% of my wealth, I'd be giving $5, you know, and is that a whole lot to the naked eye? No, but to God himself, you know, if you're giving unto him, guess what? Then that's a whole lot. That's a whole lot.
One thing you just said was, I wish I was already doing this. Mm-hmm. I've heard that statement come out of more people's mouths whenever the Lord helps them cross that threshold into being a charitable person.
Yeah.
You know, Billy Graham wrote, if a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it will help straighten out almost every area of his life. There's a reason why the Bible talks about money, friends, is because it's an idol for so many. You can't love God in money. The Bible says that as well. So you get to a place in your life when you begin to go, oh, wow, the true reality is, now that I've discovered what it's like to say, God, I'm so grateful for what you've done, I want to give, I want to help, I want to be a part. And it becomes a beautiful thing for a Christian and a believer. So you're right. Yes, as a church family, we depend on the tithes and the offerings. This building is not going to be built without those.
Yeah.
Our general budget is not going to be met without those. But we believe as Christians that we're giving to God. We're giving to his ministries. We're giving to him. And I would love to know that when we get to heaven, we're going to be able to understand even more what a general gift accomplished for the kingdom of God. So we've told you that it's a way that we acknowledge that God is sovereign, that we express our gratitude to God. And then what I have here last is giving places us under God's covering.
Yeah.
So Israel, one of their biggest concerns in the early stages was, we don't need God to leave us. Because if God leaves us, we're in big trouble. As long as he's with us, as long as he provides for us and takes care of us, we're not going to need anything else. Now, Israel didn't stay there. They kind of messed it up. They all of a sudden they decide they need a king, and then you get to see the downfall and all that. But in the early stages of Israel, and this is no different for the modern church, we want to be under God's covering. Mm-hmm. We want to be aligned spiritually. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. we don't have the ability to provide the way God does.
Yep.
So by telling God, I'm giving to you, we're opening the capacity for God to do so much more than we have the physical ability to do. And I've seen God accomplish that in many different ways. I remember being a young kid and my dad's pastoring at a church in Stephenville, Texas, and they did not have money to give my dad 1 week. They literally couldn't pay my dad. And they gathered as much food as they could so for the week my family could have food. I didn't go hungry that week. And I remember being a little kid going, hey, we've got food at home. And you know, I remember my parents tithing to a church that couldn't pay him. And I watched God provide. And this was all while we were living in a government apartment. There's not a wealth story here, okay? Hey, but we moved from a government apartment into a trailer house later on. Woo. So that was a big deal. but again, you can understand how God provides and how he cares. And I think the biggest desire we have more than anything else that we're trying to do as a church is we want to do everything as biblically as possible.
Yeah.
So one of the ways that we can be biblical is by giving the way that the Bible says to give. So accept this or don't accept this. The Bible commands Christians to give. But praise be to God that it's not a command meant for our detriment. It's a command that's meant to point us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're struggling with this still, I totally understand. I was there at a time in my life. Mav, it sounds to me like you have too.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm on the other side of that, and I see it from a completely different standpoint. And it is not a health and wealth gospel. It is wow, God is good. Why was I not doing this before? And, you know, after over a decade of that, I can tell you, why would we rob God of something he already owns?
Yeah. And I'll share a really, really quick testimony because again, it just need to be shared or not. I don't know, but
I bet it's going to be fun.
I wish I tithed earlier because in my spiritual walk, I basically waited till I was financially stable to tithe. Mm. And here's the crazy part. I look back on it now. I was like, man, literally when I was young, dumb, and broke is what I like to call it. When I was walking in God, I literally was not trusting in him as much as I thought I was. Mm-hmm. And I could literally see the blessings that I missed out of. And here's the deal, not financial blessings, just blessings where God wanted to bless me and my ministry and all this stuff. And so like, again, this isn't a message for well-off people or financially stable people. This is a message for all people because the Bible's written for all of us. Start giving to God. Again, not to receive financial blessings, but just to put all your trust in God, to really know that he's sovereign, he's provider, and he owns it all, and he doesn't want to watch you struggle. He wants you to cling, and he wants you to cling to him. He wants you to put all your faith, all your trust in him, and I promise you, he will not disappoint.
That's a good word. Thanks, yeah. Matt.
So anyways, I hope that this podcast stirs up questions. And if it does, man, please come find me or Jake. And we'd love to expound on this conversation with you either over coffee or just after Sunday service or Wednesday, one day. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you guys soon.